As we left off on Sunday, we were still trying to analyze Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat and what Mazutka had to add to our sugya. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, similar to Rabbeinu Hananel, the punchline of Mazutka was that you thought that the Edom were made, that this guy lived there for 3 years, and they were renting from him, the whole story. You thought they were not Gebed Edos, you thought they were Gebed Davar, and therefore the apostle Lahoy. No, I'm going to find the Edom, I'm going to figure out a way to get around this Nagia problem. How do you get around the Nagia problem? So Rabbeinu Hananel had one Mahalach, Rabbeinu Yonah had a second Mahalach. Rabbeinu Yonah's Mahalach was a very simple, that right now, before the Ma'arer comes, let the Edom come and be made, that they rented a house for 3 years, and they lived there. There's no Ma'arer, there's no problem. So the middle of the Edom are going to be Ne'emon. That was the thrust of Rabbeinu Yonah. And we got a little bit sidetracked on Sunday, because the Kitzel sidetracked us with his pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah, but we already asked Mechil enough times in the Kitzel. So we're going to go with conventional wisdom in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us a tremendous Yisrael. He's telling us a tremendous Chiddush. His Chiddush is that Negev B'Davar is all defined at the moment of HaGadus Eidus. If right now there's no Negev B'Davar, even though we all know, we can see to the future, don't be so smart to realize that 5 minutes from now, the Ma'ar is going to walk in, they're going to be a Negev B'Davar, it's a lo echpakli, it doesn't bother us, Beizin couldn't care less. Negev B'Davar is defined at the moment of HaGadus Eidus, at Kan V'lo Yosef. This is the thrust of the Pshat of Rabbeinu Yonah. So, it didn't surprise us that we found Rabbeinu Yonah to say this. We already saw this idea expressed by Tosus later on in the Perek. Tosus kind of bored about it a little bit. Tosus was going to stop it a little bit about it. But Tosus presented such a possibility that Negev B'Davar is defined by now, and it doesn't matter. If right now it's not Negev B'Davar, it doesn't matter what's going to happen in the future. So let's assume that Rabbeinu Yonah really said it. Let's assume that Tosus is not 100% sure about this. Let's ask ourselves a question of logic. Forget Bava Basra, forget all the Gemaras, forget all the Rayas. Logically, what do you think the Din should mean? A guy walks into the basement, two Edom walk into the basement. Right now, they clear. Right now, there's no Negev B'Davar. Basin's very smart. Basin looks at them, they listen to their story, and they realize in a week from now, they're going to be a Negev B'Davar. Should that bother us or not? Should that pose a problem or not? So what do you think logically, conceptually? So the Chora, our initial take on this Shaila should be, this is our age-old question. This is Rimagash Shaila. This is Raiva Shaila. What's the nature of the Psalm Negev B'Davar? Why is the Negev B'Davar possible in the first place? So let's go through the Hakir again. So if Negev B'Davar is possible, Alts Chashash Meshaker, so what's really driving Beis Din to reject these Edim, Beis Din has to look at these Edim and say, is there reason to believe these guys may be lying? That's the only question that Beis Din has to be concerned with. Is there reason to say they're lying or not? What do I say? Just because right now the Edim have a green light, right now there's no Negev B'Davar, we know that in 20 minutes from now they're going to be in a Negev B'Davar. They know in 20 minutes from now they're going to be in a Negev B'Davar. Who are you kidding? That's a light sonus. It's not a joke. It's a chukhuk lula. If Beis Din senses, Beis Din sees in the future, Beis Din looks at it with their eyes open, they realize that these Edom may be lying because they know that we know that they know that it's going to pay off for them to lie in the 20 minutes from now. So v'charu, hadra kushul duchzat, chashash mashachir. So the Chora, if you know the root of Chashash Meshachir in the Psul Negev B'Davar, it's very hard to accept this idea that you look with your eyes closed. Mamish tunnel vision. I don't look at the middle small, don't look in front of it. Just look right now. It's ridiculous. What do you look right now? If it's a Chashash Meshachir, it's a Chashash Meshachir. So the Chora, if you know the root of Chashash Meshachir, it's hard to understand this Rabbeinu Yonah, it's hard to understand this basis. However, if you know the other root in the Psul Negev B'Davar, there's no such thing as Chashash Meshachir. The Torah doesn't. There's never chayshish for sheker. Remember we said sechere during the kashrut. The Torah recorded to many. So remember, right? We spoke about last week. So if you hold that Negev B'Davar is not rooted in the chashash meshaker, rather Negev B'Davar is an objective psul. It's called a bal davar. So what's the dinim of psul eidus? Let's say other objective psul of psul eidus. A guy comes and made it, right? A guy comes to be made to us, and right now he's not related. But it happens to be that he's on his way to his chasana. He's going to marry the brother of the sister, the sister of the person who's going to be married again. So is that okay or is it not okay? Of course that's okay. If right now, by Shem Shem, especially ate this one, enough kamina that I'm getting invited to this chasana tomorrow. Enough kamina, what's going to happen tomorrow? Enough kamina's going to arrive back tomorrow? If right now he's especially ate this, when there's an objective soul of Korov, so if right now, but in the basement, when we're coming to Shaito, what do you have to look into the future for? For l'chaura, the whole of the psul of megen the davar is atzmal davar. It's like adam karvitz atzmal, like we saw that lingo in the Gemara in some Rishonim. So then the Rabbanian makes a lot of sense. Then the Tosis, and later on, the Chandam, it makes a lot of sense that if right now he's not a Korov, right now he's not a Baldova, so who cares what's going to happen in the future? So that would be my initial reaction to the Shaila. So we threw up the Shaila. We want to know that which the simple Pshat Rabbanian and Asug is taking a stand on this question. Rabbanian is saying that Nagibadov is defined by the moment in time. The Tzol said it's ridiculous, can't be, and he had a revamped all Rabbanian, which we thought wasn't correct. Tosfos is hemming and hawing back and forth. Do you say this svar negevadov or not? Does it depend on the moment? Does it not depend on the moment? Tosfos leaving it hanging, not unclear. So l'chora, this is the age of chakira. Is it chashash b'shaka? Then the answer is l'chora should be a problem. If it's baldova, then l'chora the answer should not be a problem. That was masking for this presentation. Not masking, we were masking.
I'm not masking.
Good. Either am I? Yeah.
From the words of the Binyan, it's...
Oh, look at that. Yep. Okay, good. Okay. Box. So notwithstanding the fact that this was my initial take to the sugya, I think one can say forget. One can say forget in both directions. I don't think that this is necessarily totally the Zeb. I can make, hopefully, I can make an equally arguable case. If you hold Chashash Meshaker, then it's not a problem. And if you hold Baldover, it is a problem. I'll tell you what I mean. If you hold... the nature of the psul is baldover. So I gave you the moshul. I said, well, just as a korov, I don't care what happens in the future, so if he's kosher now, he's kosher now, so too, the psul, nogevadover slash baldover, it doesn't matter what's going to happen in the future. Is that an accurate statement, exactly? Is that moshul really correct? What makes the nogevadover a baldover? The fact that he has some incentive to be made. It's not an objective soul. It's not that we label, not that he's a relative. We can label him as saying, you're a brother, so you're puzzle. What defines him to be puzzle is, does he have an incentive or not? If he has an incentive, he has something to gain in it, so that creates a shame I'll offer right now. So even though right now he has nothing to gain, but we know in our heart of hearts he's going to stand to gain something later, so we have something to gain now also. I mean, you don't look at this moment in time. You don't close your eyes for the future. You don't live in a world where just a moment counts. If Hashem Sofo, he's going to have something to gain, so then we say, that's called the Negivadover now. If that's called the Negivadover now, then it's called the Baldover now. If it's called the Baldover now, so he's possibly ate this. You can't get the marshal of a Karov. A Karov, either you are related or you're not related. Whereas the Baldover, it all depends on, is there an idea? So if you're willing to take an idea of the future into consideration, that's called an idea of the Baldover now. So one side of the Chakir just flew by the wayside. The other side of the Chakir also flies by the wayside. One can argue that even if the Chashash of the idea of the Baldover is not Chashash Meshachir, this is a psychological Chashash. How much are we willing to be Chashash people are going to lie? How much do we have to be Chashash for this? So one can argue that people lie when they have something to gain right in front of them. When it's so obvious to them what the incentive is, that's called the chashash b'shachar. People don't think so much in the future. People don't like such chashbainis that, oh yeah, well, if I lie now, I'm going to gain because in 20 years from now, I'm not going to have enough money to pay off the debt, and then I'm going to have money, and then I'm not going to pay the whole story, the taste is not from Dalit. Or right now, there's no ma'arer. But if I lie now, so then when the ma'arer comes, I'll be able to gain this debt a lot. People don't think, people aren't so sophisticated. People don't think it's such fancy lies. People live their lives in the moment, in the present. So if you say that, it could be, even if it is a chashash b'shachar, this is not called the chashash b'shachar. So who says this? Pemolet. Who says this? Rabbanion. It says black and white. Rabbanion says, what's the question?
He says that...
Well, people only lie. Said people are only called the gevadover on something that they have in front of them now. The fact that they have a negi in front of them in loss of Mabo, that's not going to convince them to lie. That's not going to be called a negevadover. So we looked at this shaila, with the negevadover now, negevadover later, we looked at it through such a prism of halachos. We were so convinced that it's a longish hakira. If you hold negevadover as a psul baldover, then it's okay. If you hold a chashash b'shachar, then it's not okay. I can tell you the svara, either way you go. If you say it's chashash b'shachar, I can make an argument, I can tell you a story, but there's no chashash b'shachar, I'll shame. Also, it's only chashash b'shachar right now. That's the way people think. If you're going to tell me that's a psul baldover, I'll tell you about the other story. I'll tell you that you called the baldover if there's a chashash of negibud of even in the future. So at the end of the day, I'm not sure what this machlekes is dependent upon. The suffix in Taisus Mandal, I don't know what it's dependent upon. I don't know why Rabbeinu Yonah says what he says. I'm not sure. I'm willing to throw my hands up and say this issue that the Rishonim are debating, whether negibudover is possible only if it's negibudover now or even in the future, may or may not be related to Hakira. It's possible it is, but I'm not convinced either way. This was just a shirayim from Sunday Shir. Now we move on to the thrust of what I wanted to talk about today. And that's the second half of what Rabbeinu Yonah implication for us. Again, all learning Pshat HaChadal, Tesem and Aleph. That's the whole point of the Shir. Mazutra told us, this Gevalt Yechidish, Mazutra said that something changes. Something is different from what we thought before. So the Rashbam said one Pshat, the Ram said another Pshat, and then the Rabbeinu Chanan said another Pshat. Rabbeinu Yonah said, or Mazutra meant to tell us was as follows, that if the Eidim, if the Ma'ara is not here yet, then we can rush in, bring in the Eidim, and there's no Negevedover, and Shalom on Yisrael. Good, Gevalt Kipshat, Marzi Kipshat. Forget about the Negevedover part right now. There's another problem, Rabbeinu Yonah says. There's a very basic fundamental problem with his Pshat and the Gemara. What's the problem with his Pshat and the Gemara? It's against the what? It's against the Pesukim Chumash. What Pesukim Chumash? We learn Chumash all the time. What's the Pesukim Chumash, Rabbi say? What's it against? V'huad v'olav v'lo yishmerenu. Comes the Gemara of a Kamadav Kufi Beis and says, what does the Torah mean when it says v'huad v'olav v'lo yishmerenu? When you have a short time, you're trying to transform the short time to be a short v'huad, it's not enough that he gored three times, but rather, what else do you need? You have to warn the owner, and you have to, the owner has to be standing there when you're warning him. Who are the Olav? The Bailam have to be there. The Eidim have to come in front of the Bailam. Says the Gemara, Zetman from Do, you see from here, you learn the Din, the Min HaTorah, that Ein, what? The Kavan Eidim, Shaloi Bifnei Baldir. Beis Din has no right to accept Eidus if the other party isn't present. Ein mekab of ein the shloim from Baldin is a din deraisa derived from who of all of loyish murenu. Ferish gemar bevakam daf kufi beis. Frekter ben yoyna on his own pshat. What's Mazutra telling you story bevakam daf chavtes and aleph? That quick we're gonna do this undercover. We're gonna have the beis and gonna run to the mosque. They tell the mosque quick, come bring the aidim quick before the ma'ara comes and wakes up. So there's no negibudover. We'll give the aidus and shalom Israel. So we get to the negibudover after. Even Rabbi Yonah is right. There's no negibudover. Good. So Zion tells us right. But there's no psul negibudover. This is a joke. This doesn't work. There's a violation. This is the kasha that who asks? Rabbi Yonah himself asks. The Rashba quotes Rabbi Yonah asks the same kasha. So what's the answer? Zok Rabbi Yonah. I'll tell what the answer is. Says Rabbi Yonah. This cloud goggle, any makam ein the shlo b'fei bal din, is it a cloud goggle? It's an absolute cloud goggle. There are no exceptions to this rule. There are exceptions to this rule, says Rabbeinu Yonah. I'll prove to you an exception to the rule. The Gemara of the Kama itself, a few days. Anyone looked up the Gemara? Everyone saw Rabbeinu Yonah. Who else saw Rabbeinu Yonah? Put on the Rambam comments, right? Put the Rashba, which one did I put on? Put the Rashba, quotes him as Reb Rabbeinu Yonah. He quotes the Gemara of the Kama, a few days. How can you not look up the Gemara? It's not in this book. You gotta get a little shelf, get another one. It's the same Seder. So comes the Rashi, come Rabbeinu Yonah and say, if you look in Rabbi Kama Kufi Beis, you'll notice that there are a few exceptions to the rule. There are certain times when the halacha permits us to be Makabal Eidim Shalom Bifnei Baal Din. For example, let's say the Eidim are on the way to China. They got a one-way ticket to China. They're not going to come back. The Baal Din, they're with the Baal Din. It's the other guy, the Nitzvah, he's on the moon somewhere. We're going to sit around and wait. They have the suitcases packed. They're on the way to the airport. So listen, Dayonim, Shimon or Dayonim Mumchim, either now or never. Either you accept your Eidus now, or we're never going to come back again. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to be Makabal Eidim Shalom Bifnei Baal Din. Well, let's say, more tragic scenario. The Eidim are on their deathbed. The Eidim are about to die. It's either now or never. So, Makabal Shalom Bifnei Baal Din. So comes Rabbeinu Yonah and says, you see from that Gemara that this is not an absolute cloud gadol of Eidim Makabal Eidim Shalom Bifnei Baal Din under all circumstances. Eichad Yashir Efshir, Eichad Yashir Efshir. You can't, it's impossible. If waiting for the Baal Din is going to undermine the Eidus, waiting for the Baal Din is going to prevent you from being Makabal the Eidus, so then the Kabbalah Negev Shlomo Fnei Baal Din. That's what the Rashba says. That's Rabbeinu Yonah says. See for the Gemara of Farish. So it's Kuk to Rabbeinu Yonah with an unbelievable comparison. One of the most mind-boggling Rabbeinu Yonahs around. Now what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? just as you're allowed to be makabel edus shalom b'fei baldin because the edim are dying, are on their way to China, you're allowed to be makabel edus shalom b'fei baldin of what? If the edim are about to become puzzle. Because if you know if you wait the extra 5 minutes for the ma'ariv to show up, that's going to disqualify the edim, because at that point we're going to label them what? Nogei b'davar. So to prevent the edus from never being able to reach fruition, the halacha says makabel edus shalom b'fei baldin. That's the moshel of Rabbeinu Yonah. Imagine a guy standing with a gun in front of a bank. He's about to break into the bank. Two hood guys. They're about to break into the bank. Okay, mamash, in a second they're going to break into the bank. But before they break into the bank, they whisper, call up Bayes and say, listen, just before we rob that bank, do me a favor, let us just be naked right now, because in 5 minutes from now we're going to be post-natus, we're going to be Rishonim. Okay? So the Bayes says, nope, sorry, you can't be naked now because the Baal Din happens not to be here. So the Eidim said, but it's a statement about Makam Kuf Yubayz, that if it's Hechad the Yavshar, so what do you want from us? What do you want? Hechad the Yavshar? If you wait the other 5 minutes and the Baal Din comes, we're going to be possible, because we got to jump, but we've got to bring it to this time. So you can tell me? That's the Din. That's the law. Sure. Eidim, Bayzin says, you're right, guys. Come walk to the Bayzin, put your guns down for a second. We'll check your guns, metal detect before you walk to the court. Sure. Be made and then go around the bank. And we're Makabal Eidim, we're Makabal Eidim, this is Shlom Fred Baldin, because we had no choice, because the Eidim were going to become puzzle. That's not the most ridiculous thing in the world. Can anyone explain to me why is Rabbeinu Yonah, how can Rabbeinu Yonah say such a thing? How can Rabbeinu Yonah say that we're going to Makabal Eidim, Shlom Fred Baldin, because otherwise they're going to become puzzle?
Become a
non-Eid. Oh, wait, hold on. So I got problems. I got serious, serious problems with Rabbeinu Yonah.
I mean, if you believe Rabbeinu Yonah to be saying that it's a tzul as opposed to the edim, then you'll say, well, of course that case is ridiculous because, of course, your case with the bank robber is ridiculous because here they're going to become pasul lahayid because they're rishayim. But if you're saying that they're going to be nogeh v'davar, then since at that point they're not pasul lahayid. So
what do you say? You're starting to say it. Why is the marshal ridiculous? Why is the kasha minyan a little bit of an overkill of kasha? B'chora, this also goes back to the square one. You think that I wasted last week when I gave you two shiurim about the nature of the psul of negev and davar, the shash b'shakir, or whether it's about davar, I was just stop saying it, stop for the kicks? Because everything that we spoke about is going to lay the groundwork for the next couple of sugyas. Where's this sugya? No. I don't want to make some sense out of Rabbeinu Yonah. No, plug in the hakira, guys. Should be easy. If you hold up, then don't. If you hold up, then don't. No? Come on. If you hold that the psul of Nogeh B'davar is a chashash b'shaker, that means we really think there is something fishy, something rotten going on over here. We think that these edim, when they're going to finally show up in Bezin and then Nogeh B'davar, they're going to be lying through their teeth. If you hold that pshat, then it's ridiculous to be the kabbal the edim shalom b'fnei baldin. Here's a crazy story. We're going to be Makabal the Eidish Lobo Play Baldin, because if we wait, then they're going to become Shekharanim. So they'll be Shekharanim. We won't accept them. There's a Chashash Sheker going on over here. How can we play such a game? How can we let these bank robbers, how can we let these guys who are about to become Shekharanim be made quickly before they become Shekharanim? But if you hold, these are nice guys. These don't get their from. They're not Erlichy guys. We don't Chashi. We're not Chashi. There's nothing wrong with them. We think they're great, even when they're negative, we think we'll give them off to Yain, and we believe everything they say, but never, our hands are tied, because they're Bali Dover. So what can you do? They're Bali Dover. So then it's not so crazy. Then, instead of the marshal of the bank robber, let's give another marshal, a little better marshal, okay? More down-to-earth marshal. Two Aiden come and say to Bayes, listen, we have to be made right now. It's very important for us to be made right now. So the Bayesian says, well, we have to wait for another 2 hours until the Baal Din comes. I can't wait 2 hours. You know why? Because I'm going to marry the Nidon's sister. So if I marry the Nidon's sister, he's going to become my brother-in-law who will become Pulsaliatus. So I can't wait the 2 hours. Be Makabal me now before I become Pulsaliatus. Would you have any problems with that? Less problems in the case of the bank robber. Why less problems? Why intuitively do you have less problems in the case of the bank robber? Because the Karov is not a chashash b'shachir. A Karov is an intrinsic psul. It's an integral psul. The Torah says he's psul, finished. Do we think that he's lying? I don't think he's lying. Moshe be Aaron. Moshe didn't lie. Moshe can be made for Aaron. Do we think Moshe's going to lie? He's not going to lie. There's nothing wrong. There's no chashash shachir going on here. It's just an objective psul that the Torah says. So then maybe one can argue, one can kvesh, just as the Gemara says that the Yidden were about to die. We can quit the Mekabel Eidus to save the case before it blows up. Well, just as the eight were on the way to China, we can be Mekabel Eidus, Shmuel Feinbaum did, just before the case blows up. So maybe right before the eight become Karevim, we could save the case. We could salvage the case to be Mekabel Eidus, Shmuel Feinbaum did. So if that's true, we can be Mekabel Eidus, Shmuel Feinbaum did to save the case, maybe we could say we could be Mekabel Eidus, Shmuel Feinbaum did to save the case of Negev Adover also. Because there's nothing wrong with the Negev Adover. There's no chashashek, there's no funny monkey business going on over here. It's just, it's a problem. We have a problem. The same way we're going to have a technical problem, the Edom are dead, they can't be made. Technical problem, they're in China, they can't be made. Technical problem, their relatives, they can't be made. Technical problem, they're given to them, they can't be made. So L'chor Ben Yonah only makes any beginning of sense if you take the root that this is not a Kashash, there's no Sheker going on here. This is just a Psul B'Alma, just an objective, just a Halachic Psul called Balto. Maybe you can begin to make sense of Ben Yonah.
Why does it have to be that we know the Ma'arim is about to come? Why can't it just be a nervous maximum?
It'll come sometime. Someday, I'm sure.
Because it's so far removed.
We finished the Negev Adover. We're trying to analyze the Mekabel Eidus, Shmuel Feinbaum did.
So then even if the Negev Adover is a Chash Meshachar, because we don't know the Ma'arim is coming right away, you know, because we're assuming that he may come in the future, so then even if
I don't know. I'm not sure. So again, so everybody said, we have Rabbi Yonah, we have this whole new problem of Rabbi Yonah. Forget the Negev Adover, we're masking that it's not called Negev Adover. We got this whole new angle of Rabbi Yonah's Pshat in the Gemara that's just coming in front of us, called Eimakam Nedish Levifal Befnei Baal Din. Rabbi Yonah himself was centered to it. He wanted to be compared to the Gemara of a Kamen Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and we had a little bit of a problem with the comparison, but we touched up the comparison a little bit. So we're holding on to Rabbi Yonah. Holding on. But I say, are we uncomfortable with this Rabbi Yonah? Tell me the truth. You read Rabbi Yonah. Are you comfortable with it? Isn't it smack or something funny? What don't we know? What's bothering us? Why don't we have a good feast on this Rabbi Yonah? What piece of information are we lacking right now? Rabbi Yonah is comparing something. He's saying, just as a Mavakam Adaf Kuf Yud Beis, the halacha is you can be Mavakam Adaf Kuf Yud Beis, then under certain extenuating circumstances, this also qualifies as a similar extenuating circumstance. So that's the marshal of Rabbi Yonah, right? That was his equation. Rabbi said, when you make an equation like that, what's the first thing you have to do? What you're trying to do is, you're trying to do what's called Madama Milsa La Milsa. You're trying to compare one halacha to another halacha. That's like one of the Midrash HaTorah Drashas. Mama Tzinga, we're trying to compare. Just as halacha X is true, halacha Y is also true. We do it all the time. We analyze, we do it all the time. I don't learn, we do this in life. We make compare things one to another. That's a basic process of thinking. I know this is true in X, Y, and Z, so ABC is also true. What's the problem, Rabbi said? What is the basic fundamental problem in making comparisons? Basic logical problem, people fall in all the time. Happens all the time. A guy reads an English book in Sefer HaShabbos, and it says you're allowed to put food on a block on Shabbos, the state of the marshal. So he says, oh, just as you're allowed to put food on a block on Shabbos, you're allowed to do X, Y, and Z also. What's the problem? What does he not understand?
You assume that all the facts are the same.
Well, he doesn't understand not only the facts, but he doesn't understand why. He doesn't understand the why of Din A. If you don't understand why Din A is true, then how can you possibly extrapolate from Din A to Din B? You know whose Taina this was? This was the Rabbi's Taina, the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a whole Sefer Halach, a beautiful Sefer Halach called Mishneh Torah, told you every single Halach of Torah Shavuot you ever need to know. What did the Rambam not tell you? He never told you why anything is true. He never told you what the sources for anything was. No one knew where the Rambam got his Halachas from. So the Rabbi says, how am I ever going to be able to apply it to a new Shaila? A new Shaila comes up, I want to know if I use electricity or not on Shabbos. So if I don't understand what Eish is all about, how can I possibly be done whether electricity equals Eish? If I don't understand what the nature of the psul's Nogevadover is, how can I ever understand whether this is called Nogevadover or not Nogevadover? So Rabbi said, what piece of information are we lacking before we can attempt to understand Shem HaMiyana? What don't we understand? There's a good reason why we don't understand, because we don't look up the Gemara from a Kabbalah computer today, so of course we don't understand it. But we don't know why the halacha is that ain't with, why the halacha is that sometimes you're allowed to be mekabel edush lo mishpeh bal din. Why is it that the edim are running to the din to say, yeah, therefore it's okay. The edim are dying, it's okay. Why is that okay? Doesn't the Torah say, v'ud b'volav lo yishmerenim? Isn't there a pasuk in Chumash that says, ain't mekabel edush lo mishpeh bal din? Isn't that a chayk lo yavon? So why did Chazal give exception to the rule? What kind of question is that? Sometimes it's okay. Stop. Shas l'chach, everything's butter. And who cool? Shas l'chach, everything's butter. So that's ridiculous. So we have to first understand why is that true of Avakan Kuk Yaveh's before we can begin to extrapolate as to whether Rabbi Yonah's equation is correct. So Rabbi said the real sugi we have to learn now, in order to understand Rabbi Ba'asher, Daf, Chav, Tess, and Rav, the Super Rabbi Yonah's pshat is the correct pshat. The Rosh Baal Rabbeinu Chananel Pshat is right here, which is not, it's nice that we're talking about the fact of the Basel Kotes. But we're taking Rabbeinu Yonah's word, we're going on his coattails, that the Emes of Pshat in Marzutra, that's Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rashba said it, the Ritva said it, a lot of Rishonim went with this Rabbeinu Yonah. This is the Emes L'Amita Pshat in Marzutra. So then there's a basic fundamental problem with Rabbeinu Yonah's Pshat, called Ein Mekab Eidish Lo Yifal Al Din. The only way to solve that problem is to invoke that Gemara of a Kamadav Kuf Yibayz. But in order to understand, is that a good invoking? You have to understand, but we'll come up a few days back. So Rabbi said, we're back to square one. Before you can understand Baba Basa Chavtes, you have to understand Baba Kama Kufi Beis. Can't go in the other direction. Let's jump Baba Kama Kufi Beis. Where's a good place to look? Baba Kama Kufi Beis. Where's a good place? Who would be a good Rishon Baba Kama Kufi Beis to look up? Rabbi Yonah would be a great person to look up, right? It'd be gewaldic. It'd be funny what Rabbeinu Yonah said about Baba Kama Kufi Beis. Shouldn't that help us in Baba Basa Chavtes? Small technical problem. What's the technical problem?
There is none.
He didn't write a parish on Baba Kama. He only wrote Baba Basra. But the good news is that his Talmud Mubok, who?
Rashba.
Did write a parish on Baba Kama Kufi Beis. And the Rashba in Baba Kama Kufi Beis has something to say about this topic. Comes the Rashba in Baba Kama Kufi Beis and asks the following question. He says, I don't understand the Gemara. It's a pasuk in Chumash, who had bevol of loyish morenu, which teaches us a dimi der aisam ein mekabel edush alei b'fnei bal din. That's all the Torah says. Comes the Gemara and says, nah, it's not always true. The edim have to run, the edim have to rush, the edim are dying. It's okay, you can be mekabel. I, the Chumash, says parkir. The Rashba is bothered with this very kasha. How did Chazal know? Where did it come from? What's the mokor for these exceptions to the rule? Where did it come from? So if the Rashba chidish gomel, says the Rashba, the original din of Ein Mekabel Edush Lo Mishpeh Bal Din, what was the case in the Chumash? Shor Hamor. Let me ask you a funny question. The Shor Hamor din in Rufashis or Shor Hamor din in Mominus?
Depends
for who? To a person, that's the person talking about. To a person. I thought you meant depends for the Bible for the Shor. That was the correct answer to the question. What? From the Shor's vantage point, he's going to believe it's in your functions. He's about to get killed. They have to roll a cliff. But the pilot is going to lose $100 Shor, big deal. So what is it, Rabbi? Is it the Dinamomus Dina Fashis? No, what's the answer? What's the status of a Shaila, a Din Torah, a Shor Hamur, a Shor Hanisko? What's the Din? No, what is the Gemara saying? It's Dina Fashis. How do I know it's Dina Fashis? Hashor Yisokel, Vagamba all of you was. What's the Drasha? Who brings the drasha? What? What's the drasha? Show you sakiel begam all of you must. Kemisas habaylim, kach misas hashor. Just as when you want to be down a person, how many dayanim do you need? To be down a person, you need nefashos. Kemisas habaylim, you need 23. To be down a shohanisko, shohanageach, you need 23 dayanim. The Gemara says. So kemisas habaylim, kach misas hashor. So even though you're right, from the Bialim's vantage point, this is just mumbles. No one's getting killed, no person's getting killed. The Torah elevates the status of Shohanisko to the status of Din Nefoshes. The Gemara has a funny shayla in Sanhedrin Daf Tes Vav. The Gemara has a shayla about whether this Din of Kemisa Bialim, Kach Misa Shor, was this only said in the case about a Shohanisko, in the case of a Shor Shenogech as Adam. Well, there's another kind of Shor Nisko in the Torah. Shor Shereveya as Adam. What if you have another kind of a Din Torah where the Shor is also Chayav Nisa, but it's not a Shor Nageach, it's not a Shor Hareveya? What's the only other case in the Torah where the Shor is Chayav Nisa for doing something? If it was neither Nageach nor Reveya?
The Shor
Torah actually did something here?
No, no, that's not an onus mitzvah beis, that's like a quasi korban or something. But it's the only other case in Kol Torah Kula where Shor is punished, given a mitzvah beis, and it wasn't Nageach, it wasn't Reveh.
Yep.
It's a tricky question. It's in Parshas Yisro. It hasn't happened in the last 3,500 years. What? It goes up to Har Sinai. In Be'emai, Mishlo Yechiah. Torah says you have to kill it. You have to kill the Shor. It's Chayav Mitzvah beis. So comes the Gemara and says, "Head and Daftez Vav." Don't laugh. It's a Gemara. The Gemara and said, "Head and Daftez Vav." You can laugh also. It's a funny Gemara. The Gemara says, "Shor Sinai Bekava." How many Dayanim do you need in the days of Matan Torah to kill a Shor that went up to Har Sinai? Do you need 23 Dayanim? Is the din of Kamista Baal and Kafisa Shor set on that kind of a Shor in Iskol also? Or is that Eila made them Shor Midairus? That's only a din of Dairus. And Misa Baal and Kafisa Shor, if I show Negev, Shor Reveya, then you need 23 Dayanim. But Shor Sinai, Shor Sinai, it's different. That Gzeres Tokos was never set on Shor Sinai, and therefore Shor Sinai is with 3 Dayanim. That's the Sophie the Gemara said, Hedi. Funny shine, no? Shor Sinai, Bekam, and Utamaskal, the Gemara is? Take me, no. What's it around? It's a funny shiloh. So Rashi and Akimura says, who cares? So Rashi says, it's not going to happen anymore. The shiloh's over. 3,500 years ago, it's done, finished. So Rashi says, yeah, it's not going to tell us. What a strange Gemara. So the Meiri says in Akimura, one of the collector's items, here's a collector's item. The Meiri says, this din of Shor Sinai applies to Bizman Hazeh also. Where does it apply? If a Shor goes up where? Not up to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai in the middle of the Sinai Desert. Let's say that. Oh, it comes to Meiri and says, Har Sinai today has no Kedusha. There's no Kedusha Smokum. Once the Matan Torah was over, we didn't even know where Har Sinai is. Some people walk around in the middle of the Sinai claiming that they know where it is. Nobody knows, nobody cares where Har Sinai is. But the Ramban writes in Parshas Truma that all the Hashpa of Har Sinai, the Kedusha Har Sinai, entered into which part of the world? Har Abayis, the Har Moriah, the Kedusha Kedoshim. That's elevated to the status of Har Sinai. That's where the din is. And Har Sinai, Sha'an Alecha Mi'ar Raglecha, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take off his shoes. So the Gemara says, but here you learn that you're not allowed to wear shoes in the Harabayis. So the Gemara says, Shalom Alechem Yarag Lecha. So the Meiri says, it's not Mishap Pidin, it's not just a Jerusha that Ramban and Pashas Rubin, it's a Din, that all the Dinim of Kedushas, Mokum of Arsinai, Achal on the Harabayis, Achal on the Mokum of Kedush HaKadoshim. So Zok the Meiri, what would the Din be if his mom is if an animal walks into the Kedush HaKadoshim? It's Chayav Nisa. How many Dayanim do you need to kill it? So everybody else says, what did we just made up a din deraisa? Yeshmei, no, there is no such Mishnah, no Gemara, no nothing. There's no mock anywhere in Chazal that if an animal runs into our bodies, you have to kill it. No such halacha. Strange, maybe. Anyway, whatever it is, not for now. So getting back to that story, so that was just an aside. So there's a. There's a din of Kavisa Ba'akach Mr. Shor. So Shor HaNisro is elevated by the Torah to the status of din nefoshes. Comes the Rashi and says, there are differences in halacha between din nefashos and din mamonos. You know, there are many differences. Number of dayanim is one difference. Other differences. Said the Rashba, it would appear to him that din di araisa of ein mekadon ein d'shlo b'fei bal din was only said where? By din nefashos. It was never said by din mamonos. If I have a din tire against you, I broke you. When you can bring a din, the other guy's not able to worry about it when he comes. There's no problem. Mekadon ein d'shlo b'fei bal din in that tire. The Gemara says in a million places, Ein Mekav Eidish Lovah Fir Balbin Chayt Lo Yavah Bein Din Mamas Bein Din Nefashos Zok De Rashba, it's only a Chomer Medir Abana. It's only Medir Abana. They were Mesakein. For fairness, they were Mesakein. Ein Mekav Eidish Lovah Fir Balbin, even by Din Mamas. But Min HaTorah, it doesn't apply. Therefore, says the Rashba, now the Gemara in Babakam, Kufi Beis, makes perfect sense. Since the whole din of Ein Mekav and Eidish Lo Vefei Bal Din by Dini Mamrus was only why only a Chomer Medir Abanon, Ein Mamrus Ben Mamru, they didn't want to say this at the expense of ruining the case. So if you're able to wait, if you're able to wait till the Bal Din comes, so why shouldn't you wait? But if it's impossible, the Eidim Adali, the Eidim on the way to China, so at least bravers, then you fall back with Dini Araisa, that it's only Dini Mamrus anyway. What's the implication of the Rashba? Let's say you would have a case of Dini Nefashos. You have a case, a guy was mamish over the desert. Mamish real pure din nefashos, and the aidim on the way to China. So would you say, oh, okay, it's all right, mekabel eidim shlo b'fei bal din, chas v'shol? That's a din deraisa of a mekabel eidim. Whenever the din deraisa hood with all of kicks in, but it's a real bona fide din deraisa, so that a mekabel in no circumstances, there are no exceptions to that rule. The only reason why we have these kunsa, we have these kulas, that you can be mekabel eidim shlo b'fei bal din, if it's a shas al chav, it's only predicated on the assumption that it's only the rabbanon in the first place. That's how the Rashba sizes up the sugya of Kufir Beis. So far, so good. So at least we have one beer. We don't know whether there's any relevance over here, but at least we have one beer and what's going on. Any other possibilities? Any other ways to explain why there are exceptions to the rule? How come we let you get away with it with the Shas L'chach? So come to the Rosh and the Tshuva, and the Rosh says the Rashba is not right. It's not just for Shohan Niskol. Shohan Niskol is an example of all Din Torah. We compare Din Mamonis and Din Nefash, it's all the same. It's a Din Min HaTorah. So why is it that we let you get away with it in a certain limited circumstances? How can it be? You know what the Rosh says? It was a lot. Four words. If Min HaTorah, you require the Baal Din to be present. No question. The Baal Din has to be present. So why do we let you get away with it? No. Efker Bezin Efker. The Chavim realize we have no choice. We have to let you get away. We have to be Makabli this year. If we're not Makabli this, it's going to be a big bichshol. The guy's going to lose his money. It's not fair. The Ein probably is not lying anyway. So, Mishum Shasat Chak. Hefkebez and Hefkebez are misakin to be Makabal, even though the Torah says you're not allowed to be Makabal. So we have two opinions, at least two shittas in the Gedalia and Rishonim, how to make any sense of this halacha of, on the one hand, we have a din of Ein Makabal, Eidish Lo B'Fnei Baal Din. On the other hand, we find the Chazal made exceptions to the rule. So how do we understand those exceptions to the rule? So according to the Rashba, the whole din was on a Derabbanan anyway, because we're in Din Mamanis. So Din Mamanis, the whole din is Derabbanan. It's a Heimam Vrei Mamanis. According to the Rosh, notwithstanding the fact that Emakam Nevishma is a dim with the Ra'is, we're still going to make exceptions to the rule based on Hefke, based on Hefke. Rabbi said, what's the common denominator of these two Pshatim? Vein Lefi Rosh, Vein Lefi Rosh. What's the common denominator? It's a lot. It's a real, honest, to goodness. What? Tzorech. There's a real need for this. According to the Rashba, there's enough b'tzurech to violate what would otherwise be a din d'rabbanon, because it's only b'mitzvah anyway. According to the Rosh, it's enough of b'tzurech for us to institute hefker beis and hefker to violate what would otherwise be a din d'araisa. But bein lefi Rosh, bein lefi Rosh, there is some really, really serious reason, something that's irking us to be makabel the eidus. We have a real honest to goodness tzurech to be makabel the eidus. You know why? Because at the end of the day, it's not going to be fair to the Teveya. At the end of the day, the Teveya's got kosher Eidim in front of him. There's nothing wrong with these Eidim. These Eidim are great. There's one of two problems. They have a flight to China, or they're on their deathbed. There's nothing wrong with these Eidim. If we could just somehow hold on to them long enough, we'd be fine. If we can get them to delay their flight, we'll give them extra bonus miles to fly to China again another time. If we could just somehow take the hill and they'll live for another few weeks, so we would do that. There's nothing. Well, nothing's bad about these Eidim. There's nothing funny about this case. It's a really chaval de tevega. It's really not fair. Those three words that I always tell my kids, I never want to hear in my house. It's not fair. But the emphasis is not fair. There's nothing wrong with these Eidim. It's just we have a problem. We can't hold on to them. This is not Rabbeinu Yonah's case with this. Rabbeinu Yonah's extrapolation doesn't meet these criteria. You know why? What's the difference? What's the obvious difference between Rabbeinu Yonah's case and all these cases? What? In 5 minutes from now, what's going to happen?
They're not
perfect. These are not perfect Eidim. These Eidim had a problem. Now, you don't want to call them shakranim. You don't want to say they're chashash b'shaker. Good. Don't call them chashash b'shaker. But there's something wrong with these Eidim. In 5 minutes, they're going to be compulsive. They're going to be Eidim who we will not be able to accept. So listen to the time of the Teveh. Teveh says, it's not fair. I got great Eidim. Everything's gevaldik. What should I do? I can't hold back the clock. The Eidim are getting onto the plane. What do you want from me? The Eidim aren't getting onto the plane. The Eidim are entering into the realm of being psulim. My Indian say it's all that. It's a peladik Rabbeinu Yonah. It's mamish pilei kloim this Rabbeinu Yonah. Lefiani is daiti bein lefi harashba, who is the Talmud Rabbeinu Yonah, who himself quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah. Bein lefi harash. What's the tzorich here to rush things? Wait, relax. Wait till everything settles into place. When everything settles into place, there'll be possible Eidim. There'll be possible Eidim. I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. I'm stuck with this Rabbeinu. I don't understand this Rabbeinu. Anyone understand it?
Well, no, what about the case of the Rachel becomes Kohen? Saying that he's
going to
be a
Kohen. Yeah, but that's okay, but when we do that Shmo B'Fnei Malvin? When we do that Shmo B'Fnei Malvin? Would we do that? It's such a tzairach. You need to be Apostle Aid. I don't know. So I'll tell you the truth. You know what Rabbi Yonah says in Adah. I see what he says. I'm having issues with it. Think about it. Let me know. Tell me what you think about it. Rabbi, there's a third nekuda that emanates from this Rabbi Yonah. This Rabbi Yonah's pshat is really action-packed pshat. This Rabbi Yonah is the yisod for everything we talk about in the Gevurah. It's the yisod of Rabbi Mekalei. Everything is revolving around this pshat. Imagine this isn't the right pshat anymore. Comes Rabbi Yonah and tells us, Rabbi Mekalei ate the shlo fnei val din baruch Hashem because I dug up a gemara in Baba Kama daf kuf yud beis. Right? That's Rabbi Yonah says. Baruch Hashem, I dug up such a gemara. Lu lay that gemara in Baba Kama, lu lay that equation of Rabbi Yonah, what halacha would we have plugged in here? This would have been an absolute violation. It would have been an absolute halacha of application of Ein Mekam Ebi Shlom Fnei Baal Din. Right? If not for the fact that this is the Yaitzim in a cloud, this would have been subject to the general limitation of Ein Mekam Ebi Shlom Fnei Baal Din. That Pemolin Rabbi Yonah cannot argue with that. So I want to tell you a little machlokes is that Ein Mekam Ebi Shlom Fnei Baal Din, and you tell me what you think about this. There's a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and Chashem Mishma and Simen Kav Ches and the Maharit. The Shach and quotes, I forgot. Grab it down. The Shulchan Aruch and the Maharit. About the following Shiloh. Within the Sugya of Emakam Eidi Shlomo Fnei Baal Din. What's the case in the Chumash? When Emakam Eidi Shlomo Fnei Baal Din? Shuramu, that's the model case. That's the model case. That's the illustration of Emakam Eidi Shlomo Fnei Baal Din. Who's bringing the Eidim? That's the case. Who's bringing the Eidim? Someone just got killed, right? The Shor killed Reuven. So who's coming? The Stam of Reuven's Yarshim. They want to prove, they want to get the Shor killed, they want to get Kaifer, whatever the case is, right? They're the ones who are they, Rabbi said? What are they? What's their role? They're the Tevea, the Nitva. They're the Tevea, right? Someone's coming to be Tevea, this Shor, or this Baal Shor. And the Shor slash Baal Shor are the Nitva right now. That's what the Torah says. They become Eidishlov Yvelvim. You can't try to collect something from somebody. You can't be Tevea somebody unless the Nitva's present when the Eidei have Tevea come. That's the model, right? Kuf the Shulchan Aruch and Chesh Mishpat Simon Kav Ches claims the Ra'an said it, whether he did or not is a different story. But comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, the din of Ein Mekam Eidei Shlo B'Fei Baal Din is only B'Chi HaGavra. Only under these circumstances where the Tevea is bringing Eidim against the Nitva. What if the Nitva is bringing Eidim to Pater himself? What if the Nitva is coming to bring Eidim and say, listen, I want to bring these Eidim right now just to clear my name in court. I don't want to be bothered in 6 months from now. And the Tevea happens not to be here. Can you do that? There's no Tevea. There's no Din Torah. There's nothing going on. A guy walks to the bank and says, listen, I know someone's going to come and demand money from me next week. I know that's going to happen. And I want to prove to you, Beis Din, that I'm potter. I don't want to be bothered. I'm going on vacation to China. The Beis Din says, how can we be mekabel your aid? The Tevea is not here. So the Nitva says, why not? So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, the Nitva is right. Why not? Comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, that's not called. That's not called. Ein mekabel eid shlo b'fnei baal din. Ein mekabel eid shlo b'fnei baal din means if you want to get money from somebody, you want to be Tevea, you want to get something from somebody, then he has to be there when you're attacking. But if your aidim are not on the attack, your aidim are not playing offense, your aidim are playing defense, so then there is no halacha that the other guy has to be there. That's the Shulchan Aruch's chiddush. It comes to Maharit and says, well, hoyu dvar me'olam. He says, you can't just make up new dinim deraisa just like that. The Torah says, ein mekam eidish lo b'fnei baal din, it doesn't matter. Tevei, mitzvah, aidis can't be accepted of the other parties there. At kan dvar Maharit. The rabbi says, who sees Rabbi Ben Yonah is now going to be critical? And why did this Bapak use the Shulchan Aruch and the Maharit? No, who's going to tell me? What did Rabbi Ben Yonah say? Well, back to our story. A guy sitting in the field, sitting in the house for 3 years. He's the machzik right now. He's the mochzik on the field, mochzik in the house right now. There's going to be a ma'arer here in 20 minutes from now who's going to try to get this house away from him. Right? That's going to be the ma'arer's job, to get this house away from him. But the machzik wants to bring an edim quickly to support his claim. Right? So far, so good. Right? Comes to Rabbi Yonah and he asks, yein mekal an edim shlo b'fnei bal din. How dare the machzik bring an edim to support his claim? It should love b'fnei bal din. To which Rabbi Yonah says, Baruch Hashem, we breathe a sigh of relief. Kufi beidim lebeidim of kama. This is like meisel holcha edim bin asayam. This is the exception to the rule. But lulei that exception to the rule, what halacha would have kicked in here? A mekam a dishalay b'fnei bal din. What everybody say? This machzik, I'm going to answer one question and one question only. What is this machzik? You see, it's the Tiveres v'Nitra. Who is he? What is he? He's a what? He's a Nitra. He's sitting on the land. He's the Nitra. A guy in a week from now is going to come and try to get the field away from him. Try to scream at him, get the house away from him. There's going to be a guy to be Tiveres. According to the Shulchan Aruch, why do you mean you don't have to tell you this whole razzle-dazzle Shulchan Aruch that? Oh, you know why you're allowed to be Makam Leib Shulchan Aruch? Because it's like the Lach equivalent of Makam Leib Shulchan Aruch. Nein! According to Shulchan Aruch, you're only allowed to be Makam Leib Shulchan Aruch because there's no Tevea. He's the Nitzvah. Everyone understand the Raya? L'chor is a Raya Berurish, and a Lechuf, this Rabbeinu Yonah. Why did Rabbeinu Yonah ask the question on himself? Why did he bother giving those difficult roots that we still don't understand, we're still not happy with? If the Shulchan Aruch is right, he should have said so much simpler solution to the problem. What should he have said? He should have said, because he's the Nitva, the Machzik is the Nitva, he's not the Teveya, and there is no din that a Nitva has to be between the Eidim of the Teveya. Says the Ketzais, from this Rabbeinu Yonah is a Raya Brura that the Shulchan Aruch is wrong, but the Maharit is right. Who would have ever thought in a million years from the Basha da Chotesim and Allah would be Machriya, Machwekis, the Machabi, the Maharit, and the Gemara, the Machabi, the Kukya Beis, what's the nature of this? Din the Arise, the Machabi, the Eichel, the Fevah, the says like this, there's no other way to slice it. The only way to read this Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah is bottom of the Kasha, the Kasha is a terrible Kasha, for the Shulchan, it's a lousy Kasha, terrible Kasha. But the Rabbeinu Yonah was bottom of the Kasha, gave these difficult Akutas that we know, still don't understand. There's a Raya Brura that the Maharit is right. Ad kan debri akitzos. Anyone want to be doing this
right?
What are you going to say the Maharit is the Nitra? You think that the Marakam is the Nitra, right? Because you have to go, he was the original owner of the field. You're like the Taz. That was the Taz's answer to this, gosh. The Kitzos was the first one to realize this. The Kitzos shows you from 25 different places where the Taz is wrong. We're not there. The Taz put it was right though. Rabbi, they don't want to be doing this, Raya? Did anyone think of how to be doing this, Raya? Isn't the Machzik, everybody knows the Machzik's the Nitva? Why is it a Nitva? What makes him the Nitva, Moshe? Why is the Machzik? Why am I so convinced that Tzitzis' assumption is right? Why is he the Nitva? Because he's doing what?
He's defending.
What's he defending? Because where is he? Where is he? Who's sitting in the field there? Who's sitting in the house there? The Machzik's here. So the Machzik's here. He's the Nitva. Right? No, Menachem, right? The Machzik's Nitva. Right, Avi? The Machzik's Nitva. Why is it a Nitva? I said it to you. Why is it a Nitva? Because he's what? He's sitting in the house. So I'm going to say it five more times. The Machzik is the Nitva because he's sitting in the house. Ditto. Who's sitting in the house? The Eidim is sitting in the house. The Simon, the Machzik is in China. The Machzik is not even here. It says in the Nesivos, the Tzitzis says, Raya is not a good Raya B'chol. A normal Machzik, if the Machzik would be living in the house, would be called the Nitva. And then Rabbeinu Yonah's question wouldn't have gotten off the ground. The only reason why Rabbeinu Yonah asked this question, because this is the cuckoo case of Cheskes Avatim. This is the Meshuggah case where the Machzik isn't even here. The Socher are the ones over here. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah had this in the back of his mind. Rabbeinu Yonah looked at this case. We're trying to ask the Chavtesma, we're talking about every case of Machzik in Ma'ara in the world. A normal machzik, everybody knows the tazis, right? Everybody knows the tazis. Everybody knows that the machzik is the nitva. In 99.99% of cases, it's the bottom. The machzik is the nitva, except that there's one cuckoo case in the machzik of test, which happens to be the case that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about. Is that a harifus? Is that not a harifus from the nesivus? Who thinks the nesivus has the upper hand now? Everyone follow this tzais nesivus? Everyone follow the very, very simple shabbatai. No, we have a gemara. Ben Yos, chaza for a second. Ben Yoina asked the kashan. A gemara ain't become the eshlo. He asked the kashan. He's pshat in the gemara. He offered a pshat in the gemara. He asked the kashan himself. Ain't become the eshlo. Play about this. He said, "Hocham ha'eskin and don't come with your bay. Then it's okay. Shalom Israel." So, frak the tzais. According to Shulchan Aruch, the kashan was mishkan kashan because the machzik is in it. So, zeman from there, you see that the marit is right. So says the Nesivus, you don't say anything about the Marit in the Ketzos, because this is the one cuckoo case where the Machzik is not the Nitva, because he's not sitting in the house, somebody else is sitting in the house. So it sounds like the Nesivus has just defended the Shachroch beautifully. The Ketzos is Raya, is Nishkin Raya. Rabbi Sai, who's going to get the upper hand here? We're going to let the Nesivus get the upper hand on this one? What does that say? No? Come on. Think like a good God. Come on. Think like a... What? No. Let's say, let's bring back a kasha that we asked in a previous sugya. We asked the kasha, the Rishonim asked the kasha, how could the chazak of the socher work after all what? The machzik's not getting what? He's not getting the payers, right? Remember that kasha? Who remembers that kasha? Way, way back. How many days ago? 2 days ago. 3 years. Last week, this is kasha. What kind of chazaka? Remember the Raivid, he wrote the shtar that the Rishonim said. He didn't write the shtar. There was a kasha that the Rishonim were bothered with. How could the chazaka of the machzik, how could the chazaka of the Eidim work for the machzik? So Bishlom, if the Eidim paid a rent check already, so the Rishonim said, okay, then we can understand, they got the payers. But if they didn't get the rent check yet, but like the case of the Gemara, the Kite, they haven't paid the rent yet. So where's the Hanos Achiva for the Machzik? So what did the Rishonim develop? Who remembers the famous cloud the Rishonim developed? No, you said it that time. Shlichah, Shlichah Kamos. Remember we said it's a joke, it doesn't really mean it. But what did the Rishonim say, Rabbi Sai? What was that cloud of Shlichah? What was that cloud that the Achilas Peiris of the Edim, of the Soichim, of the Machzik did it? What does that mean? It means you can't separate between the two. You can't say that, well, since I physically am not here, I'm in China, so therefore I'm not being nana from the field. That's not true. If you're my shaliach, if you're my agent, if you're my tenant, so we're one unit, all for one, one for all. It's the same unit. There's no machzik A and then the seichrim B. It's one person called the machzik / the seichrim. It's one achilas peiros in the field. If that's the case, Rabbi said, it's so obvious that that's true. All the Rishonim said that, except that one right. All the Rishonim said that you saw, but the machzik and the seichrim were the hayu hach. Does the nesivus of teretz work? The nesivus said that, no, we don't view the machzik as being the nitva because he happens not to be here. What do you mean he's not here? He is here. How is he here? He's physically in China. He's halachically here. His representatives are sitting on the field. His seichrim, his tenants, were paying him rent around the field. So that's the equivalent of him being here. So of course he's the nitva. How can you say it's a teretz? He's not the nitva because he's not here. He is here. I'll be dinis here. If he wouldn't be here, then there wouldn't be a chesedim shalom. We wouldn't be wasting our time on the basuk of tes anymore. So the whole halacha, the whole munach, this whole sugya, is that the achilas peiros of the soichrim, apidin, is the achilas peiros of the matzah. It's the same person. Not literally, but halachically, it's the same entity. Once you say that even the halacha views the matzah as being here, how can you turn around and say, no, he's not the nitva? Of course he's the nitva. Oh, but so he's in it, but the Ketzos is right, it's a good raya. The Ketzos is right, it's like a very, very shtaka raya against the Shulchan Aruch in Ochinami, defense of the Maharit. So basically, what do we have here? What we have here is everything that's emanating, everything that's stemming from Rabbeinu Yonah's Pshat in the Gemara. We gave a lot of time to Rabbeinu Yonah. We didn't give equal time here. We gave Rosh Baal, we spent a little bit of time on Sunday, the Ram, the Ochinami, we spent a little bit of time on Sunday. But the Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat is with every, all the lomdos, all the tayrus are said Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Yonah's mahalach and sugya, once again, is that the way to get around the Negev Dover is to make the Edim jump in before the Ma'ariv shows up. That was the punchline. There were fundamentally two problems that Rabbeinu Yonah had to deal with. One problem is, isn't that called Nogei B'Dover? Because he's going to become a Nogei B'Dover? So you have to say, Tosfos Razzle Dazzle, or we thought the Emes of Pshat Rabbeinu Yonah is, to explain away why that's not called Nogei B'Dover. And again, what the Lomdus is, Chashash B'Shach, Avodah, maybe, and maybe we weren't sure why this should be true, but Rabbeinu Yonah is for sure saying it. There's no question in our minds. Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us, if you're not Nogei B'Dover now, so then you're home free. That's not absolutely Nogei B'Dover. So far, so good. That was the first hope shot, the whole first part of Rabbeinu Yonah. But now a second, totally separate issue from Mamash from left field came to haunt us in Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat. Is that how could the pshat work? Forget about the Nogei B'Dover. Forget about all the Chashash B'Shach wishes. What happened to Emakam and Edish Lovat Nebelvin? Which Rabbeinu Yonah had to solve that problem in Boki the Gemara B'Makam for a few days. We had a lot of problems with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're not sure whether that equation is good. We had issues. We quoted a Rosh, but a Rosh. We had a lot of hesitations. But at the end of the day will be, Moed Rabbeinu Yonah said it. Rabbeinu Yonah said it. Makab Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rosh, but the Rishonim said it. Those are with the Kabbalah. If that's the case, that Emakam and Edish Lovat Nebelvin is circumvented because of a technical quirk, because the Edish is going to become possible otherwise. The implication is that otherwise this would have been a valid application of Emakam and Edish Lovat Nebelvin, which led us to the Machlekes, the Mechaber, and the Maharit. Is that true or not? So the Ktzos took one look at the Rabbeinu Yonah and says, this is the Raya Bush in La Tshuva that the Shulchan Aruch is wrong and the Maharit is right. The Nesivis try to salvage the Shulchan Aruch by saying this is the exception to the rule, because this is, there is no, the Machlekes is not the Nifri here, because he happens to the quirk, he's not living in the field. We have problems in the Nesivis, because L'maisa, for the previous sugya, we couldn't say that. The previous sugya, the Rishonim looked at the Machzik, the Sechem, it's all the same entity. So when all the dust settles, the Ktzai seems to have the upper hand here. In terms of, some, yes, someday we disappoint the Ktzai, but they will bring him back. That at least on the second part of his Rabbeinu Yonah, first day we're not sure about, but the second analysis of Rabbeinu Yonah, so the Chor, it sounds pretty good. It sounds like his Rabbeinu Yonah is not going to rule the Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like the Maharit, that this din of Emakam, the Edishvot, and Din works in both directions, bein for the Tevet, bein for the Mitzvah, and the Rabbeinu Yonah had to bring up that Gemara Baba Kam Kofi Beis, which we didn't understand, but at the end of the day, Rabbeinu Yonah said. So far we have three working pshatim, four working pshatim, in our sugya. What did Marzutra mean to say? According to the Rashbam from Sunday, Marzutra was addressing the Tainas HaMa'arer, that the Ma'arer has the right to demand Eidim who know Vayom Valayla. That was the thrust of Marzutra. But the Rashbam limited that right to demand it only the time it's Bari. The Rambam was the shot, either 1V or 2, whatever you want to call it. The Rambam was the basic mahalach of the Rashbam, just he accepted it, even with the time of Sheva, with the Shach, understanding what the Rambam meant. We have talked about it on Sunday, Be'erichos. Then we had the totally other Pshat Rabbeinu Chananu, that Hochel Ma'eskinon, that the Edom no longer live here. If they no longer live here, then they have a Pesha also. They could have said they never lived here in the first place, and therefore they're not the Gevud Dover. So it's a totally different angle of the sugya. It's not the machzik, it's not the ma'arit talking, rather it's the machzik trying to salvage his eidim. Then we had Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat, which is the same thrust as the Rabbeinu Chananu. It's the machzik trying to salvage his eidim, but with a totally different strategy. Rather than saying the eidim skipped out and they don't live here anymore, no, the eidim are jumping the gun and getting in before the ma'arit gets in. But that created the two problems of how do you analyze Pluma gave a double line of that. And how do you analyze the issue of Abraham Agus? Well, didn't matter that. So Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat is an innovative pshat in the Gemara, but it creates a whole peckle of problems in terms of these different sugyas that are now related. There's one last pshat in the Gemara of Mazutra, the fourth pshat, which is Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. Tomorrow, we'll start with Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. The place is closer to the Chatzim Beis. We'll try to wrap this. We hope we begin the next time from this. Lunch. Yeah, okay. Got me a list.